Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on the adventure into Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
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 So yes, we have a multitude of topics today, from Kingdom Waspinator to Kingdom Rhinox, the Amazon exclusive Sideswipe and Maximal Skywarp, Dynamus, the premium finish, the Netflix quasi-teaser with the Kingdom soundtrack information and new poster, the Funko of Soundwave, and
I have the, yes, and comics. I have the solicitations for things that are coming out in August of 2021.
Nice.
Yes.
So without further ado and useless banter, we will get into the topic, which to begin with is the Transformers Kingdom Deluxe Waspinator in-hand images. And I don't know if you noticed when it dropped the other day, people were wondering if it was a kit bash because it looked so eerily similar to the T-30.
Yeah.
Thrilling 30 for those that are not familiar. So looking at it, it does look very, very similar in engineering. It is like almost a head and a half shorter than the T-30.
Who do they have him compared next to in these images?
Well, let me get to that part. That
Sorry.
That is the Takara version of the Thrilling 30, Waspinator, okay. Which Takara tends to do a little bit better and richer paint decos on everything. And when they did the Thrilling 30, that was about the last point that Takara had a divergent part of the brand.
Right.
Where they had different paint decos, which some of that's starting to reverse now. But they had this partnership with Hasbro where they just kind of said, all right, Hasbro, we'll work with you on engineering, but then, you know, it's kind of in your hands too. And so Hasbro's like, cheap, no paint, on a lot of stuff. So I looked at this and somebody was trying to say that it was the, Thrilling 30. Or not Thrilling 30, was trying to say that it was the same. And I says, no, it's not. It's nothing the same.
No. I
put a comparison photo. The Thrilling 30 has the wing flapping capability. It has a single wing on either side instead of the almost double wing look. The Thrilling 30 also has a little bit less weird mandibles and antennae and legs.
Yeah.
Not to mention some of the purples. Now, I do understand, like, some of the purples do kind of fit with Waspinator. Some of the colors fit a little bit better than the T-30 version. Takara's is a little bit different paint deco. I'm not a huge fan of Waspinator's dark purple on a lot of the aspects. I don't like the little feet. They still missed out on doing the paint on the when the head separates for the yellow. But they did get the legs. The legs do look cartoon accurate. The colors on the shoulders look cartoon accurate. A lot of the details in the head look cartoon accurate. So in that regard, they did manage to take the T-30 because the transformation is almost identical except for the arms flip in different directions. Like the arms flip on the outside on the T-30, whereas in this they flip on the inside. But the legs do the same. The only thing is the stinger on the tail end is not... it's not quite the same,
right?
But I don't know. A lot of the consensus I've gotten is people like it, but if they have the T-30, they're not going to jump ship to this new version. And I agree with them. He does have the capability to have the eye feature that the original one has of the T-30, where the head, you can see light through it. So right, it does glow purple, which he only ever did that when he was shooting lasers.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I like the Takara version the best as far as some of it, but they did miss out on some of the yellow effects that and some of the head colorations and the shoulder and stuff like that. Whereas this one, I feel like has a much better paint deco than a lot of the Kingdom figures have.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate. I don't care about any of this, what I'm going to bring up. It's not for debate. I don't care. These are the images that AllSpark.com has. They are from Tauntaun. People know who Tauntaun is and yada, yada, yada. I don't care. I'm just saying this because I'm going to say in Tauntaun's images, he shows a side shot of Waspinator from the right. Since when did Waspinator get boobs?
Well, to be fair, both of them look like they have them. But yes, his do stick out a lot farther in the kingdom, whereas the other one, it looks more like a giant wasp head.
Yeah.
And then he's got tentacle nipples.
I'm sorry, folks. You know, I know. Okay, sure. This is not hashtag not my Waspinator. I don't think that the Thrilling 31 is okay. I don't think they have ever made a Waspinator that is show accurate enough for me to ever say, even if I was still collecting actual action figures and not just Funko Pops, like I would not buy this. I would actually not buy either version of this.
I bought the Thrilling 30, but that's because I wanted a Waspinator to look halfway decent.
Yeah.
They're saying that in some regards that this one might even be able to pop apart in certain scenarios, but looking at it myself, they used smaller of the needle pins that push together to hold the components in place. They used more narrow pieces of those on this figure as opposed to the Thrilling 30, and I don't think that it comes apart. As much as I think it would be funny to have him pop apart like in the show,
yeah,
I don't think he's going to do that. I think it's kind of a missed engineering point. But yeah. I think that the Thrilling 30 did this figure better overall. I think that there's some aspects that this one has, some of the show accuracies, like the legs and some of the colorations. Kind of like how Rhinox has the chest piece, which is almost identical to the show,
right?
And has the more built shoulders and more broader stance compared to the Thrilling 30 version.
Yeah.
The consensus between the Kingdom and the Thrilling 30 version is if you have the Thrilling 30 version and you got it for cheap and you don't want to spend a ton of money, then, you know, stick with your Thrilling 30. If you don't have the Thrilling 30 and you can't find it for a decent price, get the Kingdom ones, because at least you're getting them and they're semi-accurate. I mean, the Thrilling 30s aren't accurate either. They take some liberties for sure, but they're not that bad.
This is just my personal preference. If you took the purple from the Kingdom figure and you put it on, not necessarily the Takara version, but the original version of the Thrilling 30 Waspinator, I would probably like it more.
Yeah, if you took the head and took the wings from the Kingdom and put it on the Thrilling 30 version, I think you would have a pretty solid Waspinator. And then because the arms are built slightly different in how they're engineered, you can't swap them per se, but I do like the fact that when he transforms, it hides the yellow inside of his torso, which I feel like on the other versions, they just kind of, because it was on the outside, they kind of conned out on, well, we kind of can't put paint or it's going to look goofy. So whereas myself, I don't really care if it looks decent in beast mode. I just want it to look great in robot mode. So I painted mine. I feel like they kind of, and this is the same thing with Rhinox, I feel like you get the best of both worlds if you mix the two.
Yeah.
The only ones I feel like they've done a stellar job are the ones that didn't have a good toy to begin with, other than the fact that they've cheaped out on paint on all of the previous ones, such as like Black Arachnia, Dinobot. They missed kind of the boat on using more paint. or right. proper paint decos. I mean, they went all out on Megatron for the most part. I mean, he still got that stupid goofy grin on the dinosaur mode, and they didn't paint the underside of the feet or the knees of Megatron, so they're like bone white, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I feel like this one they've put more effort into than they have a lot of the other figures in terms of paint. I mean, Scorponok alone looks like one of those cheap dollar store toys, just looking at him in beast mode.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence of half the Kingdom stuff. Like half of it's good, half of it's not. But I was happy to see this Waspinator and the level of detail that they actually put into it. Yes, it's missing some aspects that the Thrilling 30 has. But overall, it's I don't feel like it's a miss.
Right.
Where yeah, no, you know, whereas Dinobot like and Black Arachnia had crap for figures before Kingdom. And they actually have proper body shaped decos. And yeah, they didn't use all of the paint scheme, but they went pretty far with it. And I was pretty impressed with what we got.
Yep. Okay. Battle then, across. Good.
Oh, and then I was going to say, and then Rhinox, he's starting to show up all over the place and people are going to town scalping and gloating about it. Like, oh, look, I found three Rhinox in two different stores in my city. And then they have a picture of all of them sitting on their shelf. That's like in box, like just a scalp. Like the scalping thing has gotten so ridiculous. You can't even go to a store and find this stuff anymore. Like I scout for AllSpark and then I also kind of look for myself, even though I've got everything I want out of these so far. I toyed with the idea of getting Rhinox, but I was holding out for a Thrilling 30 because it's honestly what I wanted, despite the knee issues, which I'm going to try and fix myself. And then I'm repainting parts of it that desperately needed to be painted. But I feel like people are just taking advantage of the fact that people want these figures and they're just dumping on the fans by like, oh, I'm going to make a quick buck. It's not like they customized them and then sold them, you know, as a custom saying, hey, I put all this extra work into it. Yeah. No, they're just trying to, you know,
cut it's people. It's buy and resell and undercut the people that actually want them. It's scalping. It's not.
Which is probably why the stores aren't carrying as many, because people are doing this.
Okay, so this episode won't be out for a while, but we did just record Toycast episode 106, which is the origins and toy collections with our buddy Dave Draper from Toy World Order. And he and Josh and I were talking about how if let's just jump to Battle Across Time 2-pack side Autobot Sideswipe and Maximal Skywarp. Okay? If this figure hits today, June 12th, 2021. If this figure hit at 9 a.m. today, whatever time zone you want to say, whatever time stores open, Target, whatever, and you go in as a scalper or as a regular person or whomever, as a person, if you go in the store and you buy that and every other thing in the Battle Across Time line, you buy all of it on day one, Hasbro and Target and Walmart more specifically, they're used to selling items like lawn chairs. You buy a lawn chair maybe once or twice every couple of something. Like, you're not going in there and buying 50 lawn chairs. You the way the current system is between the toy manufacturers and the retailers is bad, because the retail system is, we have this many gallons of milk until this date, because that's when the milk expires. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Whereas if, you know, you go into the store now, today, you pick up everything of this Kingdom Battle Across Time 2-pack. Well, if you buy it all on the first day, yeah, that's great for the store. The store made its money back, but that's what the store sees. The store made its money back on day one, week one. Whereas they want you to buy these figures like people in general. They want people, not you, people in general to buy these figures over time. Like, That's why there is no stock. It might also be because Hasbro might be having problems. I don't know. But generally, how Dave explained it to me on ToyCast 106 was that if you go in and buy it all on day one, week one, week two, three, and four for the rest of the month, there's not going to be anything because the next restock isn't coming until August or whenever. So that's the problem. That's one of the biggest problems is that...
Yeah, and I've noticed that at the beginning of the month, they get the figures, and then once they're gone, they're gone.
They're gone. And there is no restock. Yeah.
Well, and I noticed that when I first... Because, I knew Kingdom was coming. I didn't know when the figures were dropping because, BBTS and all these sites were saying March, April, May, June. I went into a Super Target with my wife and my kids, and I walked through the toy aisle because Mary was looking at something, and the boys and I went into the toy aisle. And right. I'm like, the whole line is there. Like Primal, Megatron, Beast Megatron.
Yeah.
Optimus Prime for Kingdom, Rat Trap, Cheetor, Black Arachnia, they were all there. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, they had everything. And they were before Street Date.
Mm-hmm.
Which it makes me laugh because some stores don't care about Street Date whatsoever.
And then some stores are asinine about it.
This is Street Date. You cannot get the figure. Like, the Target closest to me is in Loveland, Colorado. They hold strict to that stupid date. And you walk in there that date, they don't have it.
No, because here's the thing.
Which is ridiculous because I call, because I made the mistake of driving around to a bunch of them once. Yeah. I call before I step foot in the store to make sure. And I actually, there's two in Fort Collins. There's one in Loveland and there's another. I have two Walmarts in Loveland and a Walmart in like Fort Collins and Thornton and stuff. So I have enough. I have like eight stores between the three cities, that are within a 25-minute drive, and I can hit up multiple stores within a half an hour. And so, I was able to get Megatron towards the end of January. Like I just lucked out. I found one, and I bought it. And I found a Scourge. I found a Rat Trap, and I've seen Scourge since. I've seen Rat Trap since. I've not seen a Beast Wars Megatron since February. And I've seen all the other characters. Like, now the stores are starting to get flooded with Black Arachnia, Cheetor, Netflix Cheetor. I don't see Primal anymore. I don't see... I did see a Target close to me that's had a Dinobot and an Air Razor for over a week, which is surprising. It's wild walking into these stores because you never know what you're going to see. And how long they're going to have that particular character in stock.
Yeah. So they are doing these things called the Battle Across Time 2-Packs. It's Battle Across Time Collection. This is Maximal, Skywarp, and Autobot Sideswipe. Maximal, Skywarp? I know they need to keep the name, but...
It's from Beast Wars 2.
Oh, okay.
They revamped... Like, they had a... I don't know if you remember the old Magna Boss combiner.
No.
Beast Wars. Anyways, there were three characters. One of them was Silverbolt. He was a bald eagle, and he suffered from that gold plastic syndrome.
Yep.
Where just brittle plastic. They had an elephant that was Ironhide, and they had a lion that was Prowl, and they were supposed to be the last of the three Maximals, last of the old guard. Or the Autobots that converted to Maximals to be basically the primes, like the leaders of the Maximals. And having survived all the, even though technically two of them died in the movie, although Wheeljack and, Perceptor show up even through, like, Beast Wars Victory, or Transformers Victory.
Right. Well, I mean, Victory wasn't, yeah.
Well, they did continue everything in the Japan. It's just, in America, they kind of stopped at the Rebirth, which didn't exist in the others. But, they repurposed the Silverbolt figure as a Maximal named Skywarp. And they, basically, they're just reusing Air Razor's mold here. And they gave him an original head sculpt, which is actually with the eagle head over the robot mode head is reminiscent of the original figure. Yeah. And I actually really dig this paint deco. Even though it's basically Air Razor.
Yeah.
But I really dig it because of how they made it work, and the colors and the wings and just the level of detail. Like, I felt like Air Razor was a miss in a lot of ways because it was like orange, brown.
True. Yeah.
And so I repainted her heavily because I just hated the colors, and I'm still working on it because I need to go get a paint pen so that I can accurately follow the grooves across the limbs. But yeah, I don't know. I really dig this, and I like Sideswipe as a character too. So like, this is tempting for me, yeah. But I don't know if I want it bad enough to pay $50 for it. Just like the Grimlock and Mirage two pack.
Mm-hmm.
I have no ambition to pick up because I mean, I love the head sculpt that they use for Grimlock on that. I hate the toy.
Yeah.
And then Mirage is not one of my favorite characters anyway. And from what I've heard, there's not enough changes in the design for people that had bought it already in separate. And somebody was saying, well, I can see there's going to be a lot of Mirage going on eBay soon. And, yeah. But yeah, so I mean, this one's tempting for me, but I'm kind of waiting to see what the other two packs are going to be. I know there's going to be a Waspinator and Starscream. And now that they've introduced Waspinator's toy, more or less, it's not officially released, but I know that that's going to be a two pack on its own. And they've mentioned Scorponok already at some point, so I'm wondering who he's going to get paired with. But I don't know. I like this across time thing, but I also wish that they would just sell the stupid things individually.
Yeah.
And not just through Amazon.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you can get it on Hasbro Pulse, but then you got to have a membership. Otherwise, you got to pay shipping.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I just, like, I wish the Battle Across Time stuff would be, I don't know, just a little bit, not, okay, I know Sideswipe is not a repaint. He's an original character. But Skywarp, just to reuse the Air Razor mold plus to keep the copyright name on Sky. Like you said, why? I'd rather pay $50 for Galvatron and get the figure I really want versus two figures that, I do enjoy Sideswipe. It's not worth, I don't know. It's just not worth that to me.
Yeah. And see, I'm of the mind at this point in my life that I don't like if they're trying to cash grab by pairing two figures together, one that I may want and one that I might not want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough of an enticement for me to buy the thing to begin with. Now, if I could get them individually and I could get the one I want, I would probably pick up the Skywarp just because it's another beast. It's another, even though it's a repaint, I would put him with my Grimlock and it would kind of fit, you know, another repaint of a character that I already have, you know, and I don't know, just something along those lines. I have no ambition to pick up a repaint just because it's in a two pack with another character. And I, you know, with the limited space that I have, I'm pretty much, other than that Grimlock, I'm pretty much sticking to show characters only because I don't have the room and I don't have the budget. And but I do love the figures themselves that I'm seeing come out of this. The only one that, like I said, I've had a problem with is that Grimlock, and that's just the general consensus is everybody hates it. Now, what could happen is they could release the figure, and it could have half the paint decos, because if you look at the Dinobot one, because I looked at him again in the store yesterday, just because it was a new release of the figure, and I've noticed that they've started putting the next waves magnetic cards in, because when I bought my second Dinobot, I got a different card that was not released yet. And so which I've been selling those on eBay because I don't care. They're just a sticker. And,
yeah.
But people like them. So I just, you know, I'll sell them for a portion of what I paid, which works for me. But The Dinobot, like I said, he shows a little bit more paint detail. He yeah. shows like the ball joint that goes to his waist for his legs. They show it painted gray, but when you look in the box, they're orange. So it looks like when he's transformed in beast mode, he has orange boobs that are sticking out from his chest of his beast mode instead of having gray, which would kind of somewhat blend in with the gray and the brown and, you know, the color tones. And then they show the raptor kind of the tones that are going across his chest that he had in Beast Wars. None of that's there in the figure. Like it's all for show in the promotional, yeah, engineered photo that they put on there. So I don't know. That's a little thing that I have a gripe with Hasbro, but I kind of think that kind of plays into their premium finish line. Cause the Netflix line, they go in a different direction with the paint. Like if you get Cheetor from the Beast line from Kingdom, he's got like this, like, play school yellow and blue, like super little kid colors. And then you get the Netflix version and they flip it. So now he's got like this yellowy gold, which is more reminiscent of the actual Cheetor, and then the dark blue, which is reminiscent of the original Cheetor. So
yeah,
in that regard, like I was tempted for a moment for the Kingdom Cheetor, but I'm like, I got the 10 year anniversary version of the 96 version, and I was like, honestly, I'm fine with it. Yeah, the beast mode head doesn't go flush like, you know, the Kingdom figure, and right. doesn't have some of the, you know, the leg swap behind his head, but it's not enough of an impact for me to wallop $20 on something that's inferior. I was reading the AllSpark Discord when the Netflix thing was going on the other day. And they were playing with the Beast Wars toys or the Kingdom toys. And somebody says, you know, at least they could have done with not showing the trailer is have somebody break the tab off on Cheetor and have a discussion about quality control. Cause like none of them could figure out how to transform the toys. Like it was quite hilarious to watch, but not that they're easy for me either. It was just funny that they were like, at least show them breaking the tab so that, you know, we can all have our issues addressed. But you know, the premium finish, they've released the images of Optimus Prime and Megatron, and they've given them a little bit better paint decos. They've added a little bit more chrome. They've added some of the battle damage from the show to kind of look more like the show. But the battle damage thing was never something I was into.
Right.
Basically their, the mystery box Ultra Magnus, and he came with his armor and everything, and both him and the armor have the battle damage. And I've heard that if you use rubbing alcohol, you can wipe off the battle damage, and it's just the paint of the toy. So I'm going to attempt that on my the inner part, the cab of the Ultra Magnus, because I want to see if it works, and then it just saves me from having to repaint aspects of it. But yeah, I think that like even little intricacies like the headlights on the top of Prime's cab that should be yellow, like yeah. they don't even paint them on the regular versions of the figures, or some of the grays that should be there. Like they're very like subtle, like cheap looking grays that look like your dollar store toys, not like a figure you just spent an obscene amount of money on compared to yeah. what they were 25 years ago. So it kind of bothers me they're doing this premium finish, and Takara is kind of the brainchild behind it, obviously. But I don't know. For one, the general consensus with this Megatron figure from Siege is nobody wants this figure again. Like this is the 10th, this is the 10th like attempt to sell the same toy, and people right, are just yeah. done with it. And the Prime, it's about the same at this point. Now you know, not having Megatron, yeah, I think it's cool, but I wouldn't spend more than $30 on it. And for the premium finish, you know, they're going to be hiking a like $60 price tag at least. So,
true. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm, if they were going to do this with some of the Beast Wars characters and make them show accurate with their color palettes, I would be tempted for some of them just to have that official, you know, paint job where it's not going to flake or chip. such as like Dinobot and some of those. But it's not, again, it's not enough for me to care. Like, I'm getting budget masterpiece figures out of these. So, you know, instead of a $400 Dinobot, I'm getting a $30 Dinobot. And then I just have to do the work. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. Anyways, the speaking of Dinobot, they have this sticker that came with somebody that's of Dynamis, a Herald of Unicron, which looks kind of freaky.
Yeah, it looks kind of freaky. This new card came with a Transformers Kingdom Galvatron figure, it says in the AllSpark post. And,
I'm interested, and I want to see whether they actually do this or not, or if this is one of those, like, different time frame type things, because they've already mentioned having Galvatron and Unicron and Nemesis Prime kind of show up in Kingdom. So I wonder if this is, like, an alternate reality Herald of Unicron in place of, you know, Galvatron, or maybe, you know, he's like the scourge of Galvatron, you know, group, or, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to see it, because there's another card too where it shows Black Arachne as the leader of the Predacons.
Right.
So I don't see that happening either, but there's some weird cards, and I don't know if they'll come into play. Kind of like the fossilizers, I'm pretty positive that they're never going to show in the Kingdom program.
With only 6 episodes left, no, I highly doubt it. I mean, unless it's just like armor in the thing, like unless it's just I don't know,
or speaking Unicron of, raises them or something.
Yeah, something like that. Speaking of Kingdom, FJ DeSanto posted 2 Netflix images, one for the Maximals / Autobots and one for the Predacons / Decepticons. And I love these. I need you to mesh these together to be the artwork for our Kingdom discussion when we do that later in July, because we actually have a date finally. Actually, we're going to have a lot of Transformers content in July or in August or whatever it ends up getting done. But July 29th is the date for Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom, Chapter 3 of the WFC trilogy. We see Primal, we see Rhinox, Rat Trap. Is that Rat Trap on top of Rhinox, or am I just imagining things?
Nobody seems to know.
Okay, good. Cheetor, I assume that's Air Razor, and they are looking on to the Ark crashing to Earth. And then on the Predacon side, we have Megatron, Dinobot, Black Arachnia looking on as the Nemesis crashes to Earth. Very cool. Absolutely love that. That is so cool.
Yeah, the images that they showed, I was pretty impressed with. I noticed during the stream on TFW, they were cataloging in one of the posts. Somebody was screen recording some of it on YouTube and posting it on the forums. They did not show a trailer, which we were all bummed about. They showed 2 different motion graphics, one of Primal Rhinox with what looks like a hump on his back, which some are assuming is Rat Trap in beast mode. Other people are like, what the heck did they do to Rhinox? And then there's Cheetor and Air Razor. There's no Tigatron showing. There's no, you know. And then they go over to the Predacon side and they show.
Didn't I just say all of this?
They show the other side, and they're missing like Scorponok, Waspinator, and so on. But what somebody noticed in the background was you could watch Air Razor on one of the little screens behind the girl on the right hand side. Air Razor was flying and scanning the Nemesis and scanned Beast Wars Megatron next to it. So, yeah, I was a little curious about that. And they had an actual, you know, her in beast mode flying and stuff. Somebody had zoomed in enough that you could make out what it was. It wasn't the best quality, but you at least got to see something going on.
Right.
So it very much has this animation style. And I actually like the way that they did the Beast Wars as opposed to the rest of the trilogy, how it's very blocky.
Yeah.
But I still think, you know, and everybody's kind of in this boat, it's still going to pale in comparison to Beast Wars based on the fact that they're not going to get the voice cast. They don't have the writing. It's kind of a footnote of this trilogy, not really its own thing. But I am excited that they revived it enough that we get new toys.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the soundtrack is kind of telling of some of the, yeah.
Yeah. So spoilers, folks, spoiler. The soundtrack will release the day that the show premieres, July 29th. It has 17 tracks. This is more my thing than Steve's thing, because I just love listening to the Transformers soundtrack stuff. Composer is Alexander Borstein, Bornstein, as has been on all three arcs of the War for Cybertron trilogy. 17 tracks, like I said, starts with Kingdom, goes to Faith, which is the Allspark theme, Maximals versus Predacon theme suite. We have Rescue, Prime Saves Primal, The Matrix Returns to Prime, Temple Battle, Ascension, Titan, It's Over, Elita in the Snow, ooh, there's gonna be snow, Galvatron and Nemesis Prime, ooh, damn, Fight for the Future, Sparks Return, Cybertron Reborn, which is Elita and Optimus' love theme apparently in this one, Peace / Unicron Epilogue, Coda, Cybertron Reborn Acoustic, and War for Cybertron Trilogy Bonus Track. Very cool. I'm loving. That's my favorite part about War for Cybertron so far. I've liked parts of Siege. I've liked parts of Earthrise. But so far, I can listen to this music over and over and over again. The last thing we're gonna go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the music for this and hearing it.
Yep. The last thing we're gonna talk about before we get to IDW's solicitations for releases in August of 2021 is the Funko Pop GameStop exclusive jumbo, which means it's 10 inches tall, Soundwave. With his cassettes. All right. So GameStop has just put up a new jumbo Funko Pop Soundwave with tapes. 10-inch vinyl figure comes with four interchangeable cassette mode buddies. Buzzsaw, Laserbeak, Ravage, and the blue one is what the Allspark says, which means that's Rumble. None of the tapes actually convert, and I've been trying to study these images of Soundwave and how the tape, because essentially it's just a jumbo size version of the Soundwave that they've already done. The only difference I see between the original Funko Pop regular size Soundwave and this one is the original one is an actual much darker blue to what he looked like in the show, and this one is a little bit lighter blue. My only complaint, and it isn't really a complaint, I don't like if they do it eventually, great. Any of the Soundwave exclusives that they've done so far, they all have yellow eyes, which is what the toy had, and I understand that. I want a show-accurate red eyes Funko Pop Soundwave. At the same time, I want this too, because this is pretty cool. The fact that you can get a Funko Pop with the tapes is cool. The MSRP on this is $40. Now, I know most people are going to, oh, it's just a vinyl figure and $40 is too much and blah, blah, blah. For me personally, I don't collect the jumbo ones, even though I want this one. Oh, that's interesting. The actual Funko image of it shows the regular blue color, but these other images show a lot. Oh, that's strange. Anyway, I don't buy the jumbo ones because they're 10 inches is just way too big. Yes, I know. That's what she said. But it's one of those things where He comes with his tapes. How could I not want this? Am I going to get it eventually? Who the hell knows? But it is very cool.
And they're going to have the $10 Soundwave Core Class figure that has the cassettes that don't transform.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
I'm kind of excited for that, too.
All right. From IDW Publishing, this is June for August. So these are going to be books coming out in August of 2021. Transformers number 34, cover done by Winston Chan, written by Brian Ruckley. Anna Malkova is on art. Sea of Rust, Part 1. Megatron has learned that his former mentor, Termagix, holds a key artifact that could tip the scales of the war firmly in the Decepticons' favor. Eliminating the Autobots once and for all. The first order of business, of course, is finding Termagax's house, a mobile building on the run. And as tensions erupt between Megatron's Decepticons and his old mentor, the Autobots put themselves in the crossfire. $3.99, 32 pages. So that'll be coming in August. August. Also coming in August is the next new arc for Transformers Beast Wars. Beast Wars number 7, written by Eric Burnham. Art this time around, Winston Chan is going to be the artist, with Fico Osseo doing the colors. I believe this is Stasis Pod. It's supposed to be Stasis Pod, but the solicitation only says Pod Part 1. After their first explosive battle, both the Maximals and Predacons have allowed a lull to refresh and regroup. But when the first protoform pod comes down and a new entrant to the Beast Wars enters the fray, things are going to change in a major way. But whose side is Black Arachnia on? $3.99, 32 pages. We also have two miniseries coming in August, starting. They are 5-issue miniseries. We have Transformers King Grimlock, written by Steve Orlando, art by Augustin Padilla. King Grimlock begins. Grimlock, the beloved powerhouse T-Rex with an attitude and one of the strongest Cybertronians in existence, finds himself magically transported to a world of fantastical beasts and strange powers. In this savage world where the strong rule with sword and iron, Grimlock finds a new opportunity to prove he's the strongest there is. But as Grimlock and the human barbarian Arco will learn, sometimes brute strength isn't enough. That is 36 pages for $4.99. And then what I am excited about, really excited about, is the 5-issue miniseries Transformers Shattered Glass, cover A, done by Alex Milne. Denny Lore is on the writing, Guido Guidi is on the art, Alex Milne is on the colors and covers. Shattered Glass isn't your average Transformers tale. Shards is the story of the ongoing battle between the power-hungry Autocrats and the freedom-fighting Decepticon laborers. Join author Denny Lore from James Bond and King in Black, Captain America Champions, in exploring this fractured alternate universe just before it shatters. In issue 1, many kilocycles after the Cybertronian War has destroyed Earth, Blur, an evil Autobot body scrapper, hunts his newest bounty, who holds a piece of information that could reignite the war. 32 pages, $3.99. Very cool.
Very, very much.
Yes. Very, very cool. And yeah, that's pretty much all the news we got.
Pretty much.
I think. And it's kind of a... I think Grimlock used his fire breath on me because it's getting hot in here.
Don't.
What? You kidding me? No one's going to know if I, this is podcasting, man. I mean, come on. No one's going to know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways.
It's audio, folks. Use your imaginations. What? Not that I want to end this show on a depressing note, but I've been going back through some of Garrett Clark, a.k.a. Optimus Scourge's old stuff, and I just realized this September will mark 10 years since he passed away. Oh, God. Oh, wow. It is... It's not just because of 2020, but it feels like because we are now in a new decade that the last decade feels like it was so long ago. I don't know. I don't know what the hell. Like, next year is the 40th anniversary of Knight Rider, and when He-Man actually was toys before the cartoon show, because, you know, I mean, Kevin Smith don't care about no He-Mans. Anyway, anything else you want to impart, or do you just want to close it out as Megatron?
I'm good.
Yes, folks. I'm a horrible, horrible podcaster. I can ruin any show.
He tries.
Yeah, 13 years I've been doing this, and 13 years I've been failing upwards. All right, Megatron, close us out.
Ah, yes. Tune in soon for the top 100 Transformers countdown. Yes.
Yes.